Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. The run-up to the 2018 midterms officially got underway on Tuesday. Texas kicked it off, held the first primaries of the year. Now, early voting was up about 100% among Democrats in Texas. Republicans also voted in record numbers. There are hundreds of more primaries to come up across the country. And this year, Democrats are hoping that President Trump's historic unpopularity is going to push them to majorities in Congress. Elaine Kmark is director of the Center for Effective Public Management at the Brookings Institution. She's been tracking all of this year's primaries, and she's already spotted some warning signs for the GOP.
Things are looking fairly pessimistic if you're a Republican in the upcoming primaries. There's two measures that we traditionally look at. One is the number of retirements, because when politicians think they see a bad year coming, suddenly going home and spending more time with their families or, you know, taking a job at a university, suddenly those options begin to look a little bit more attractive than they do in a year that is going to be good for your party. So the first thing we notice is there's a lot more Republican retirements than Democratic retirements. The second thing we notice is that there are many, many more Democrats challenging sitting Republicans than there are Republicans challenging sitting Democrats by a very, very large margin.
So a lot of Democrats running against sitting Republicans means just more targets of opportunity, I guess. Where are Democrats competitive, Elaine? People like to look at Republican-held districts where Hillary Clinton won in 2016, which suggests there's plenty of people willing to vote Democratic in a district. How many of those are there?
There's 24 nationally. Seven of them are in California alone. Okay, so California probably provides the richest target of opportunity. There are seven districts there where there's a Republican sitting member of Congress, but Hillary won the district. Most of those are on the target list for seats that could be taken. There's another couple of seats in Pennsylvania where there's recently been some redistricting, some redrawing of the lines, and some people think Pennsylvania could get anywhere from 3 to 6 more Democratic seats. And there's even some seats in places like Texas, 3 seats where Hillary Clinton won the district, but a Republican member of Congress also won the district. And the betting is that those are potential pickups for Democrats.
There's a lot of enthusiasm in Democratic ranks, Elaine, but there are also still some divisions. You mentioned two races, one in Texas in a district in Houston where a Republican sits, where the Democratic establishment in Washington tried to knock out a progressive candidate, Laura Moser. They failed. She's moved on to a runoff. In Illinois, the Democrats in Washington didn't get behind the incumbent, Dan Lipinski, a Democrat, because he's anti-abortion rights. Do these divisions among Democrats and progressives matter in the midterms?
Well, they do and they don't. I want to take you back to 2010 when the Tea Party took over. These divisions matter if they end up nominating a weaker candidate in the general election. So it is widely understood at this point that the Tea Party candidates for Senate in 2010 really cost Republicans control of the Senate. Here in the district you talked about, which is the District 7 in Texas, the Democratic Campaign Committee made a pretty clumsy effort to get what they see as the weaker candidate out of the race. And of course, it backfired on them. Nonetheless, attempts like that that are less clumsy are actually quite important to the parties, because if you have a wave coming, you need a warm body in the seat, but you need a warm body who's not going to blow up in the general election.
Elaine, in the end, are these midterms really just about President Trump? Approval ratings in the 30s, very divisive. Howard Dean came on the show a couple of months ago and basically said nothing matters in 2018 except how popular or unpopular Donald Trump is, and suggesting that Democrats out there are just looking for their very first chance to take action, all that frustration they've had over the last year or two, and vote against Donald Trump, and that's all that matters.
Bottom line, this year, yes. It's often the case that midterm elections are referendums on the sitting president. This sitting president is so divisive, he's so unpopular, and he so dominates the political discussion that, of course, he's going to be the issue in this election.
Elaine, there's a special election, not a primary, Tuesday in Pittsburgh. Joe Biden's been campaigning in Pennsylvania for Connor Lamb, a Democrat who's up against Republican Rick Saccone in a special next Tuesday. This is a district that won't even exist in its current shape in November, thanks to a court-ordered redraw of Pennsylvania's electoral map. So a short-lived seat maybe in Congress, but what's at stake in this special election on Tuesday?
Well, it's like the special elections we've seen in Wisconsin, like the special elections in Kentucky and in Florida, that were all safe seats for the Republicans that went Democratic. This Pittsburgh district, Pennsylvania 18, is an open seat because the Republican resigned after a scandal. And, you know, it looks like Connor Lamb, the Democrat, is running a very strong race and in some polls is even up by 3 points. Even if the Democrat loses this seat, what people will look at is they'll look at the margins. So a seat that Trump won by 20 points, if a Democrat loses it by 1 point or 2 points, people are going to say, wow, that's an indication of something big happening in the electorate.
Republicans have poured $3.5 million down that race to defend a seat that they've won handily for years. We'll be watching it. Elaine Kmark from the Center for Effective Public Management at Brookings, thanks so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.